Evening to everyone. We are, I believe we are live now, and maybe someone can check it. Okay, it keeps flashing for just a minute. I'm going to give everyone just a minute to come on, but it's good to be back, and a lot of people tell me I need to announce who I am, so I am Don Parnell. I'm from Dayton, Ohio, and I know we have so many people that are new that are through Africa and Asia and a lot of Europe. I live in Dayton, Ohio, and it's a blessing to be able to sit here and come to you tonight here, but I'm sure it's evening here. Nighttime for some of you and early morning for others and afternoon for others all across. So we will, this evening, last weekend, we talked on When the Eye Twinkles. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, this is kind of going to be a furtherance of that, and then lead into some more discussions on after this one is the unveiling. And the unveiling, I will speak on tonight and just reveal in short order several things that have been unveiled, and then come back and we will discuss a lot of discussion, several probably, on the more excellent way. So we have a few with us here tonight on the broadcast, podcast, whatever you want to call it, and we will get started and kind of enjoy what we've done. We've read and heard the things that many prophets have said about the unveiling. We know our latest prophet, William Branham, he talked about the unveiling of God, the mighty God unveiled before us. And he just went on and on after the opening of the seals about the unveiling. And we know that these prophecies were all through the Bible also. If you read the book of Revelations, it is an entire book about the unveiling of the church ages, and then how at the end of the ages, another age is unveiled. And it shows it very plainly in the Apocalypse, or in the book of Revelation. And the Apocalypse just means a lot of people, they get very afraid, you know, what's going to happen in the Apocalypse. And they get very afraid, like it's the end of all things, the end of the world, the end of, you know, it's going to explode and it's going to burn up, and everybody that's bad is going to go to hell and everybody that's good is going to go to heaven. But we have come past that. We have had so many things unveiled to us. And so the Apocalypse is not a bad thing, you know. Christ has been unveiled. I could just keep going right down the line, the beautiful things that have been unveiled for us that we never seen until this age. And there are other things that are unveiled because this is the age for it. And that's some things that are horrible in our sight. But it's being unveiled. It's being brought before us so humanity can make the adjustments that it needs to make to purge those things out. And it will happen. So we many times when something is unveiled, it's the opposite of what man thought. Example, Abraham. Abraham, the Lord put him in a trance, or put him to sleep. And Abraham had a vision, and he seen these burnt sacrifices, pieces of meat that were being sacrificed. And so the whole vision, I'm not going to tell it all, but anyway, the Lord speaks to him and says, your people shall be in bondage for 400 years, and I will come and deliver them with a strong and mighty arm. And when you read that, you can imagine, you know how it goes when you tell a story, somebody else has got to embellish that story a little bit. Then the next generation has got to embellish it a little bit more. But go through 400 years of embellishment, and the prophecy that the Lord gave Abraham probably at the end of 400 years didn't sound anything like the real true prophecy. They probably had, you know, the Spirit of the Lord coming down out of heaven and smiting and destroying and killing the Egyptians, and angels being with them and rapture them from Egypt back over to Israel, and, you know, pick them up and carry them through to the promised land. And I'm sure all of that was going on. And then it happened. It was 430 years. And here came an old prophet, 80 years old. He had been next in line to be the Pharaoh 40 years before. And he's walking with a black woman, Ethiopian, on a donkey and a son, and they're looking at him, and he's saying, thus saith the Lord, this is the prophecy of Abraham, and the Lord's it's the time for him to deliver you. And, you know, they're looking at it, and they're thinking, where's the angels? Where's the rapture? What about all of our prophets, Joseph and all of them, that said, take us our bodies and bury them over in Israel, because we're going to resurrect. What about all these people? What are we going to do with these? And what are we going to do with ourselves? How are we going to get back? You know, there's a Red Sea between us and Israel. There's all kinds of nations. And they just, they fell apart because they were taught an interpretation, or they were taught something that just absolutely was not true. Now it took them 40 years to come to the understanding that Moses said the Lord will deliver you into a place that is full of milk and honey. That sounded pretty good, didn't it? You know, go to a place that's full of milk and honey. But see, it took them 40 years to understand what the milk and honey was. It wasn't exactly like sitting down and drinking milk and honey. You had to plant your own food. You had to work hard at it. You had to protect your land. There's all kinds of things you had to do that they just weren't expecting to have to do. So sometimes when a prophecy is given, it is totally changed and watered down and embellished, and it goes to the extremes from one to the other. And so, you know, I want to read just a little something that I wrote, and I think it will help us understand. When I write things, I'm writing it by the inspiration of what I see for the day, for the age, and for myself. And I received a question that I hope helps with what I'm doing. The question is, when you revise or rewrite about the scriptures, isn't that trying to change the Bible? What you are doing is not what we are supposed to be doing. And of course, it was from one of my precious brothers that was in one of the past stages. And so I wrote this comment. Look, I am not taking away from the scripture or trying to say that it isn't good for this day. What I am doing is writing by inspiration and giving a commentary on many scriptures. This is not uncommon, as many through the centuries have written their comments and commentaries on scriptures, published all kinds of books and help aids for study and understanding of the Bible and other writings. And an example, Isaiah wrote that Israel would fly home on the wings of an eagle. But here comes a prophet in the 1960s and shows us exactly what Isaiah meant. He changed the scripture. He said what Isaiah actually seen was an airplane flying back over across the skies, and Israel be carried home on the wings of an eagle. But brother, our prophet said, it's not the wings of an eagle, actually. It's the airplanes that they flew back on. And that's what the prophet seen. And he didn't know what an airplane was, so he just said the closest thing that he knew how it was. And now we know we have Nahum that by vision saw chariots jostling one against another, and they had large torches running into broad ways and jostling, wrecking with one another. Well, you say, okay, chariots, torches, wrecking, broadways, okay, interstates, automobiles, headlights, all these things. And you say, well, you know, automobiles and vehicles with headlights shining in the nighttime on the interstate highways and wrecking and crashing against one another and jostling against one another. Nahum called them chariots, torches of fire. He didn't broadways, but we know what it is now. So what you have to do is be able to take what was written and either say it's completed and it's done and it's already passed, or take a look in your day and say it is going on right now and here's how it is going on. Well, that's what I try to do. And certainly it upsets some people, but you know, upsetting people is what I'm good at. So I'm taking by inspiration of the Spirit and writing about how many scriptures are taking place right now before our eyes. If we can understand that advancement, technology and humanity are developing at a great rate of speed. And if we can understand that, we're going to have to take a look at the scriptures and say, okay, what the prophets saw was during an age when none of these things were around. And now they are here, and you have to be able to take, just like Moses. You know, Moses made the statement to Israel. He said, have no other gods before you. I am the Lord thy God. And Moses went on to talk about, do not create any gods, any images that fly through the air. You know, talking about birds. Do not create any images that creep upon the earth. You know, and called it creeping, which would be your bugs and things like that. And then he said, do not create any image that is beneath the sea, all your fish and everything else. And that was the warning from Isaiah now, or I'm sorry, from Moses. Now, we can say, wow, so they were afraid of creating birds to worship and bugs to worship and fish to worship. Well, I don't think so. In this day and in this age, take a look at what Moses was saying, and I say unto you, what Moses said, don't create anything that, and try to protect yourself in such a manner, because it's going to fail. We created airplanes, birds in the sky. We created tanks. We created Humvees. We created all these things to run like bugs on the earth and destroy everything, and all of this war and all of these warplanes and everything else. And we created submarines. And here we have all of these things, from airplanes to tanks and Humvees to submarines, and they're going all over the earth now. What are they doing? Destroying one another. Exactly what Moses said would happen if you create these kinds of things. So when I talk about these things, all I'm trying to do is to help you to understand that you can't just sit and read the scripture and say to yourself, okay, that's literally what it means. Because this is an age where the scriptures are finished. Don't let that scare you too much either. The Bible is finished. It's done. It's completed. And now what we are doing is trying to catch up with that revelation and be able to see all the things that were prophesied all about us. When we can do that, then we can get somewhere. Now, I want to read a scripture. Last week, I talked about the eye, and I talked about the prophets, and I talked about all these things. And so, just a little furtherance on that is, let's read a scripture. Matthew 5:38. Ye have ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Now, this is Jesus talking about the written scripture, the Pentateuch of Moses. I mean, that's holy. That's, in his day, it was a death penalty to say something different than Moses said. Just like today, it's a death penalty to say something different than William Branham said. They will kill you, put you out of their churches, they'll black your name, they will do everything. Just exactly like they did to Jesus. So, you've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him also the other. So, we see Jesus talking about this. I want to look at it in a little bit of a symbol form. I come forth and someone says, a Tory, Don Parnell, Alan Copeland, Joe Gomez, whoever it is, a prophet spoke to me, because we are all prophets now. A prophet spoke to me, and you know what everybody says? Eye for an eye. Well, I got a prophet said something different than that. Some of them will even use the same prophet to say something different, and they'll just go back and forth, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, running their mouth on one another and destroying everything that the revelation of Jesus Christ was supposed to give. So we don't want to walk out here with an eye for an eye. You got a prophet and I got a prophet and my prophet said this, and then they say, well, my prophet said this, and we don't want to do that. But we want to resist the evil, leave the arguments alone, believe and understand what you have received in your heart, my prophet, and walk with it every day of your life. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Don't worry about the flesh. If some man says to you, you're living this way and you're going to hell, well, give him your cloak also. You know, oh, your flesh is no good, and you're living this way, and you're doing this, and you're doing that. Just give him your cloak also. Say, I know, you know how it is here. And just walk on. Don't even worry about it, because it has nothing to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he goes on, and he says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow from thee, turn not away. So he's showing you how to deal with people and how to work with people. And when we can do this, it will help us. He goes on, he says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So Jesus is saying, love your enemies. Well, here we are in 2023, almost 24 now, and I've just got this one thing to say. Jesus said, love your enemies, but I say unto you, don't have any enemies. Just don't have any enemies. Don't. Like Abraham Lincoln said, keep your family close and your enemies closer. Be best friends, he said at one point, with your enemy. That way you can keep from all of the trouble and all the hassle. And don't just love your enemy, so to speak, but we're further than that. We don't have any enemy. How can you have an enemy when you're in one spirit? You know, we've come to that understanding. We're in one spirit now. So how can I sit and say, I got an enemy that is against me and really truly believe that we're one spirit? I mean, how can that happen? I've got people that are manifesting in the lower frequencies than I'm in. And I've got people that are manifesting in higher frequencies than I'm in. And I wish I could reach the frequencies that some of the people I've met. But none of them are my enemy. They are just manifesting in lower positions, lower frequencies, lower vibrations, and higher vibrations. Or they're resonating on the same vibration and the same vibes, the same understanding, the same frequency, and you have great fellowship. So we see this now. He goes on to say, I pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. As I was saying, I'm going through a lot of these things we've already been through to help a lot of these younger people, because I'm getting them by the floods, just trying to understand and saying, we just heard this, we're coming into this, we believe this, this makes the most sense. So I'm kind of helping them out just a little bit. But here, Jesus points out a really great understanding, and that is, be like your Father, the Spirit. Be perfect. The Spirit said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And where's the Father? He's in us. Here's where heaven is. So step inside there and be perfect, or the way Jesus put it, let your sun shine on the evil and the good. Give them the same thing. Love them with all your heart. Let your sun shine on the evil and the good. And let the rain fall on the evil and the good. Let them all have the same thing. Give the same thing that you have to each one, instead of going through these battles of making enemies and everything else. So we have this. Now, we talked about Moses and how that he said to do these certain things. And then Jesus turns around and says, but I say unto you. And we have unveiled the fact that the word can be changed just by doing using that one scripture. The word can be changed. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That went for decades and decades and centuries and centuries. And here comes a man who says, I know what's written in the word, but I say unto you. I'll move you over to Peter. And Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost and makes a statement, and he says, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Or you could say, change every one of you and be baptized in the nature of Jesus, the same way you was baptized in the old scripture of Moses, and you believed it with all your heart and you were baptized. But be baptized in this new gospel in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive an understanding of what's going on in your day. But here's Peter making this statement, and you show me anywhere in the scripture where it tells any person ever to be baptized before Pentecost. It was a new revelation. It was a new understanding. It was a new nature. It was all of those things. So when we are moving forward, the word continually changes. We've unveiled the fact that the word can be changed after it is completed. You can read that in What is the Attraction on the Mountain? The prophet changed the word, and he changed a lot of it. He took from Zechariah 9 and Zechariah 14, and he said that great Mount of Olives is to be split, and Jesus is to come and set his feet on that mountain. He said that took place at Sunset Mountain in March of 1963. And he moved it from Jerusalem, from the Mount of Olives. He moved that prophecy and put it live and happening in 63 at the opening of the seals on Sunset Mountain, when the Son of Man was revealed and the Son of Man was crowned and came into the earth to set up his kingdom. So we see that that happens all the time. Brother Branham even went as far. I was listening to a testimony of one of the brothers, and they said that he was staying out there to watch the place in Arizona while he was gone in meetings. And he said, Brother Branham pointed out and said, you see up there on that mountain? He said, you see that rock? And he said, yes, Brother Branham, I see it. He said, that's the same rock that Moses stood on. And, you know, you say to yourself, okay, Brother Branham, if you say so, but he moved Israel over here. He called Jerusalem, I believe he called Jerusalem, or Phoenix, Jerusalem. He called Tucson, Nazareth, and he took that land and he recreated everything and moved the scripture of Zechariah over onto that place to where that Jesus Christ, and he set it in what is the attraction on the mountain, that Jesus Christ set his feet on that mountain. So it was a perfect understanding to be able to take those scriptures that Zechariah seen it all, and he just, when he seen it, he wrote it down that it was a Mount of Olives, because that's what the mountain looked like. And if you go to Sunset Mountain, you see all the desert, you see all the cactus, you see all those things, and it looks like the Mount of Olives. So he wrote it down as that. And then we had a prophet in 1963 that said, nope, here's where it was at, here's how it happened, this is when it happened, and he changes the scripture. People don't like that. We have unveiled all things now. The curtain of time has been lifted. We know that. Revelations 10 lifted the curtain of time. And when the curtain of time was lifted, it changed everything, and we began to eat on a different mountain of food. What the church ages were eating on, there was a great curtain, and the prophet was standing there speaking, and he seen a woman in a soiled yellow dress, and he looked at it, and the woman was standing there, and she had a bride's gown on, a wedding dress, and he looked at her, and he said, across her forehead, it said, Mrs. Methodist. And he said, after a while, he looked at it, and he said, it was my tabernacle. Now, we see that, and he said, there was a curtain, and he said, there was a mountain of food, but no one was eating on it. And he was pouring out a mountain of food, and no one was eating on it. And then the curtain lifted, and the angel said, take a look. And he said, there were millions and millions of people eating on that mountain of fresh food behind the curtain. Well, let me tell you, the curtain's lifted now, and we are eating on fresh food. Fresh food every day, the Word of God for the hour, not for 50 years ago, not for 60 or 70 years ago, the Word of God for the hour is in us. We are the Word of God. We are the Spirit of God. We are all of these things. So we see this going on. Now, as we go on just a little bit, he talked about the unveiling of God. We've seen that. You say, oh yeah, that was great, the unveiling of God. Well, let me tell you, when I seen the unveiling of God, what I seen was that God, the whole concept of God, was a man-made thing, and the whole concept was denominational teaching, and it was unveiled. God was unveiled. Now, the Spirit is the one that was unveiling God. And God was an attribute that came out of him for redemption, for mediation, for intercessory, for all those things. You needed a God. You needed something to worship. You needed something between you and the Spirit. But now we don't need that. We don't need it at all. What we have now, we are not trying to worship a God. We are the very Spirit walking in earth. We are the Word and the life, and everything that we are doing is exactly what the Spirit wanted us to do. So we have this unveiling of God and the unveiling of the Antichrist. The unveiling of God, seeing where God came from, what God was about, how that man had made this theory. And there was a and is a real Spirit. But it's not seeking for you to worship him as a God today. That's not what it's about. It's about friendship. It's about relationship. It's about all those things. And where do you get that friendship and relationship from? With one another. So we see this going on. Now, unveiling of Satan, of the Antichrist. We all thought there was to be some great man that was to be lifted up, and he would be worshipped, and he would have all of these powers, and he would have power over the earth, and he would do all these things, and he would be the Antichrist, and the whole world would follow after him. But we found out that that's not true. We found out that the Antichrist spirit was all the way back in John's day, and it came all the way up through the ages. And the Antichrist spirit is a spirit that starts out as a Nicolaitan spirit. And then when it speaks its word enough, it writes it down, and they make it not a Nicolaitan spirit, but a doctrine. And then whenever the doctrine comes, the next thing we do is we create an image or a god to worship in that doctrine. And you see the progression of the Antichrist until we get down here, and there's this huge Antichrist, and all it is man's mind, Satan. The way it's been taught is not even a real thing. It's just Satan is processes, images, beasts, processes, and things that we go through in order to bring us to the experiences that we want in our life. So we see this going on, and Christ, God, Satan, Antichrist, the unveiling of science. Just look at that. We were told for hundreds of years, all the way back when Galileo and those men were in science, and they were beginning to study and understand that the earth wasn't flat. They began to understand that in astrology that everything was lined up perfectly. They began to understand all of these things. And these scientists and the things that they did and the things that they looked at, science began to roll things out. And science, everybody said, of the devil, it's of the devil. But in this age, we found out that science holds just as much mystery and holds just as much revelation as anything else, whether it's religion, politics, spirituality, or right on down the line. Science holds a beautiful revelation, and they're bringing it forth, and we're beginning to see how the body really is exactly what David said. It's wonderfully made. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. You know that just one cell in your body holds more atoms than a normal galaxy. Isn't that just one cell holds more atoms? There's photons. There's, you can go right on down the line with all the things that they are, electrons and everything else, but it holds more power in it. One of your cells holds more power in it than the entire galaxy, a normal sized galaxy. We're finding these things out, and it's helping us to understand that, hey, this, I'm important. I am no little thing. I am more than that. I have an understanding. I see who I am. I understand who I am. And we do these things, and these things continue to roll out. Now it's unveiled, and we see that they're finding hundreds of planets that are just like Earth and can have life on them and everything else. They're doing all sorts of things. They're going into the, being able to go into the quantums and to all of these different things and dark holes and show exactly how many billions of years old things are. And they're able to take your body and they're able to connect your body with the smallest things, from a spider web all the way up to an entire universe. Every move that you make causes a move in the universe. And they know that. They understand that. And we are sitting back in this religious realm, so to speak, and calling it the devil. They're seeing more of the spirit than we've seen for hundreds of years. And now we are catching up with it. We are starting to understand and see what is happening and what is going on. So, it's okay, isn't it, Brother Allen? It's working good. Okay. And so we see this unveiling of astrology, the zodiac. It's astrology. It's out there. And many wrote about it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But today, it was always of the devil, always of the devil. Yet Job wrote about it. Amos wrote about it. I could just keep going on and on with the prophets that wrote about it. And we come up to a present day prophet, and he actually showed us what would happen and how that the zodiac opens things up. And he still had some of his, of the tradition in it. He talked about how the zodiac started in Virgo and made its trip around and come back and ends up in Leo the lion, which is all good. That's a good way of looking at it. And that is a way of looking at how Christ is developed. But when you go back, when you go into the studies, the zodiac is retroactive. So it doesn't travel clockwise. The zodiac travels counterclockwise, retroactive. It's backwards. And if you take a look at the zodiac and you understand it, I've come to the understanding that the zodiac, it actually started in Sagittarius. And Sagittarius just means I know. And so the Lord had all of that knowledge and had all of those things about him, and he began to take what he knew and he began to put it into the process. And the process, if you look at it, and it starts out with Sagittarius, then if you're going to go retrograde backwards, the next one is Scorpio. Well, Sagittarius is I know, and then Scorpio is I penetrate. And so that's what the Lord did. He had a thought about the earth and about the universe and about all these things. And in that thought, he had to do something. The Lord had to have faith. The Spirit had to have faith to penetrate nothing and create something out of it. So he penetrated Scorpio. And then as you come backwards in the zodiac, just watch it just for a minute here, and how that the zodiac has opened up so much to us, way beyond what we used to have. And so you keep going backwards from Scorpio, it goes to Virgo. Virgo is I penetrate is Scorpio, and then Virgo is I discriminate. And that's what the Lord did. He penetrated, created an entire universe in Scorpio, penetrated the thing, created all these things, and then he discriminated against all of it, and he said, I'm just going to choose this one little virgin, this one little earth, and I'm going to move into it, and I'm going to do everything that I want to do with this little virgin. And then it went to Libra. If you're coming backwards, then it hits Libra, and Libra is I balance. So the Lord, he thought about it, he knew about it, he penetrated and all of this space and broke it into material, slowed himself down. And when he penetrated and slowed himself down and done the things that he'd done, it came into discrimination. I'm in it now, and I'm going to walk into the earth. And the Lord placed himself in the earth and began to balance all things by making the earth the center point of his revelation. Now, the sun was the center point of the universe, but the earth is the center point of his revelation. So you see that, and then as you go through Libra, you come to Leo. And Leo is an expression. Leo, it brings forth life. It brings forth expression. It brings forth all of those things. And Leo, I honestly don't believe that the Spirit ever stepped into a human body. Now, listen to me. The Zodiac, you'll go through all 12 of those in 24,000 years, about 24 to 26,000 years. You say, well, so the earth is really only 24 to 26,000 years old. No. How many times have we gone through that cycle? How many times have we traveled through and learned more each time as we travel through that, we are eternal beings. And every time we come through that cycle, we learn more. So here's Leo, and then Cancer. The moon is its ruling planet, and Cancer, when you move into Cancer, it is I feel. That's what it is. I feel. So when Cancer, when it came here, the Lord, the Spirit, had created an earth and was moving about the earth in the Holy Spirit, moving about the earth. It was his body. And he said to himself, I want to begin to feel these things. I want to begin. So what happened? He, the Spirit put his feet into the earth and brought the earth, brought the dirt and the dust up upon himself and created a body within himself. And he had a circulatory system, he had a respiratory system, he had a digestive system, he had all those things in him, and he began to look around and he began to feel. He began to feel everything. He felt the earth and what it was like. He picked up some dirt and he said, so that's what I created and that's what it feels like. And he, you know, you say, well, that was Adam, Brother Parnell. Well, I don't know whether you know it or not, but A stands for God, which is the first letter in Adam, and Dam stands for many things, but it is red, it is ruddy, it is bloody, it is all those things. So Adam was God in a position of blood in the earth, and he was moving about in that position of blood and reaching out and touching. He took the water and he tasted it. He took everything and kept tasting it. He took animals and created them, and he tasted the feeling and the love and everything else. And he had all of those things going on. He tasted the apple. He tasted the orange. He tasted the banana. He tasted all those things. And the Lord was getting experience for the things that he knew. And as he got those experiences in Cancer, he began to move forward. He began to taste all of those things, to feel all those things. And in Cancer is where he brought forth his helpmeet, and he began to feel those things. And then what happened? When he came into Cancer and he began to feel all those things, and he began to look at Eve, and she was so beautiful, and there's something he hadn't felt yet. He had felt all those other things, but there's something he hadn't felt yet, and that was the woman. And so they began to discuss about moving into an intimate position. They could have used their mouth and spoken children, but there would have been no personal entity or no personal intimate relationship between them. They moved into the intimate sexual relationship. They moved into the intercourse because that was something the Lord wanted to taste. Now, a lot of people, they say, oh, Brother Parnell, come on. Everything is what the Lord wanted to taste. Now, I'm not saying that he wants to taste some things now. He may have tasted some things. He said, I don't want to drink that no more. I don't want to eat that no more. I don't want to taste that anymore. I don't want to think about that anymore. I don't want to. There's a lot of things I'm sure that he's kind of said, okay, I'm going to purge that out of the earth. I'm going to purge this out of humanity. I'm going to purge. And he's doing so as he moves through. And so we see how that then Gemini comes along. And of course, Gemini is the twins, and duality begin to come. Him and Eve begin to have children, and the duality of the Spirit begin to come in through Gemini. And then Aries came in, and that's about where I'm going to say that Adam was dwelling in Cancer. And Gemini brought in the duality processes and moved them out into the sexual intercourse and the intimate relationship of bringing forth humans into humanity in that manner. And then here comes Aries. And Aries ran, if you're watching the zodiac, Aries ran from Noah up till Jesus, about 2,000 years. And Aries means I am. That's what it means. And so if you take a look at it, it seems like at the end of each age, there was a great happening. Adam was when they stepped out of the relationship in the garden, so to speak, when they stepped out, they went into Taurus, and then Taurus was the blood, and then they come over to Noah, and that was Aries. And watch, after 2,000 years, Aries meaning I am, the earth is producing I am, and here comes, at the end of Aries, this little man, whose name is Yeshua. They kind of changed it around and everything else and made it Jesus, which I don't worry too much about that. I know who I'm dealing with, and I have a great friendship with him, and he doesn't really much matter whether you call him Yeshua or Jesus. But anyway, when you came down to that point, there he was walking in the earth, understanding who he was. And he began to say, I am he. And except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. I am the rock. I am the water. I am the... He just kept saying, I am, I am, I am, I am. It was a mighty revelation, ending up Aries, which means I am. And Aries imprinted itself into the earth. It imprinted itself into every person. Each time you go through one of these houses, it's imprinted on you. Somebody said, well, I was born in Sagittarius. That's great. But you've had imprinted into you every other house also, because we are the Maseroth. We are the Yeshua. We're all of it together now. And all of those attributes are living in us. So you have Aries, and then what happens? Taurus comes in, or I'm sorry, Pisces comes in. And Pisces moves down through 2,000 years after Jesus, after Pentecost. And Pisces is the seven women. If you look at the constellation, Pisces is all of those things. It's all the blood. It's all the redemption. It's all the problems. It's all those things. And Pisces has seven eyes, seven messengers, seven this, seven that. And you get down to the end of Pisces, and you find that at the end of Pisces, here comes, you know what Pisces means? Its character is I believe. They moved into Pentecost and believed that the Word was made flesh in them. They moved into Paul and believed that the Word was changed by Paul, and it was a New Testament. They moved into Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and William at the end, and it was always a move, and they would say, I believe. And then at the end of Pisces, here comes a man, a prophet, and he begins to take a song that was written in his time by a friend of his, and it was called Only Believe. And he traveled all over the world singing Only Believe, Only Believe, all things are possible, Only Believe. It was the culmination, it was the imprinting of Pisces in every single one of us. And he traveled the earth over, and he embedded and put into us so that it would grow up, so that it would grow out of us, I believe. Just like Jesus embedded in us, I am. On down the line, you can just look at all of it. It's a great thing in all of our lives. And you know, after Aries and Pisces comes Aquarius. And that's why I traveled this through here to look at this age. And I know I won't get to all of it today, but Aries, then you move into Pisces for the 2,000-year church ages, and then you move into Aquarius. And Aquarius is I do and I believe, or I do and I will. That is Aquarius. I do and I will. So at the end of the ages, there was a bride standing there that a prophet had brought forth, and he was to marry her to Jesus Christ. He was to marry her to Yeshua. He was to marry her to the Word that had just taken place, and all of the seven church ages would be the bride of this great spirit. And he's standing there, and he begins to marry her. And he begins to give her all of these things. And he begins to give her all these gifts and all this understanding. And he says, will you take Jesus Christ to be your lawful wedded husband? And she says, She steps into Aquarius and says, I do. And he says, will you stay with him till this and that, through sickness, through all of these different things? Will you cherish him? Will you do this? Will you do that with him? All the days of your life, I will. Aquarius is I do and I will. So that's what was going on as we were moving out of Pisces into Aquarius. There was a marriage going on. There was a bride. That's why John kept writing about the bride. But now we're 50 years, 60 years later. And this is not the bride age. I see people still writing about this is the bride age. This is not the bride age. I'm telling you. I married my wife in 1972, December the 2nd. And she had a beautiful wedding dress on. But you know what she did when we went home? She took that wedding dress off and she began to be my wife. She began to be the attributes I wanted her to be, and I put myself in her and began to be the attributes that she wanted me to be. And we married one another. We took the wedding garments off. We took the tuxedos off. And we started washing dishes, going to work, creating kids, and doing everything else. And it's totally different. And if you're still today sitting around screaming, we're the bride, we're the bride, we're the bride, and you're in the message, you're not. If my wife did that, if she started going around saying, she's the bride now, 40 years later, 50 years later, almost 51 now, I'd be saying, uh-oh, something's wrong. Something went wrong here. Her mind's not exactly right. You need to get out of this. You need to move out of that and move into another manifestation. And that's what's going on when we entered Aquarius. We entered a relationship. It's not even a father-son relationship anymore. It is the father and son have become one. The husband and wife have become one. The male and female have become one. Call it whatever you want, but it's all one. And we are the spirit walking in the earth. We are the very creation and we are the very creator. I'm walking around in my creation and you are walking around in your creation. And this is who we are, the great Aquarian age to come to this understanding. And there's a lot more to come. But very quickly, I will just, after Aquarius comes Capricorn. Well, let me say this. At the end of Pisces, we got caught up into a marriage and went up into Sunset Mountain. And there we married the Son of Man. And there we crowned him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And then we brought him back into the earth. That's what this is all about. We're setting up the kingdom in earth right now. That's what's going on. This is the kingdom that was spoken of by all the prophets, the future home. It's all of those things. It's here right now and it's happening all around us. And when we went there and came back into the earth, we began to manifest Capricorn. We're in Aquarius. It's the dominant, but we begin to manifest Capricorn, which is the Lord made flesh in the earth. That's what Capricorn is. And so we see this going on, and we moved into the Aquarian age, into the Capricorn age, and now we are trying to understand what all has been revealed or unveiled to us. You know, when something is revealed, it's over. A lot of people, they don't understand that. They say, well, revelation is fresh. When something is revealed, it's over. Let me ask you this. Do you think that a sculptor who's making a sculpture, you think he would uncover the sculpture when it's half done? You think he'd say, here's my beautiful sculpture, and you look at it and you say, oh my, that's just a bunch of clay. What in the world is that supposed to be? No. A sculptor will not do that. He will keep it under a veil, the way Da Vinci did his great paintings, and the way Angelo did his statues, and all of these things. They kept it under a veil, and nobody really knew what they were doing until it was finished. And then they set up a time, and they said, "We're going to pull off the veil now." And when you pull back the veil, everybody was just in awe. Look at that. What a beautiful What a beautiful creation of David. And they seen where that the knee was smitten on it. And they asked the question, and he said, it looks so real to me. He said, I smit the knee and said, speak. It was so real to him. And that's what it is to us. The veil was pulled back. And we are now seeing such an amazing, wonderful thing. And we're crying out, speak it out. Tell it. Speak it out. Show it what it is. It's a beautiful thing. Somebody told me, said, you need to go to a church, Brother Parnell. You need to sit down in a church. And you need to get under and you'll be much better off. I said, well, I kind of have a digital church. And I said, you need to understand something. Whatever church I went into, it would just be trouble. Because I'm not going to keep my revelation behind my teeth. I'm going to tell my revelation. And when I tell it, it's going to stir up trouble. And the pastor's going to have to do this and that. Probably some of the people will leave. And then some of the pastor will, some of the people will get mad at me. And the pastor will ask me not to come back. And I said, I'm just going to bypass all that. I'm just going to put it on the internet. This is a new way. This is a new gospel, a new understanding. And I'm putting it out here to where you can have it in the comfort of your home and not have to worry about who all is going to fuss with you about it and try to convince you it's not right. This is my way of doing it. So we have this going on. Now, all of these unveilings, the unveiling of the millennial reign, I'm not even going to get into it tonight, but we know that Brother Branham said on Who Do You Say This Is? He said, we know that it's all laying out there in the ether. In the ether wave. And he said, everything, even, he said, the millennium is out there in the ether. Now, what do you think we found? We got into the ether, and we understand the millennium. The millennium is just a rest. So it's been unveiled, and we'll get back into that. The unveiling of one spirit, taking away God, taking away Satan, taking these two combative spirits that everybody thought it was for so many centuries, removing that completely and saying it's one spirit, and it's bringing out all the experiences so that it can taste and feel and touch and understand and all of these things, and it's just one spirit. And what we need to do as humans in the earth is know that we are that one spirit and begin to purge out what doesn't need to be in our lives. We need to purge out, and we need to add in what does need to be in our lives. So we have this whole concept, and I'll get back into that. I'll take a message on it, of one spirit. And then we have the unveiling of our entrance into Aquarius, which I just told you a little bit about, and there's so much more. And so we have entered Aquarius. Let me just say this real quick. 1997, January the 6th. The sun broke into Aquarius. 1997, January the 6th. The sun broke into Aquarius, the natural sun. At the same time, I can tell you that the Lord was doing great things in the earth to carry us into the air, get us into Aquarius, because the Lord used a Libra man to connect Philippines and New Zealand and America, me, to connect the three of us together. He used a Libra, connected me to a Gemini, and maybe an Aquarius. There's your three air signs. And it happened at the same time the sun was moving into Aquarius and moving into an air sign, and a new gospel was beginning to break forth, which was just a new understanding of what many of the prophets had already said. But we come into a great day, and I'll get into that. We broke into Aquarius, into that entrance. And we unveiled the fact that the church ages were finished, that Pisces ended the church ages. And I have many people that still write me so angry, saying, you're causing so many problems by telling the people that the church ages are over. They're waiting on a rapture. They're waiting on a resurrection. They want dead bodies to get up out of the ground. They're waiting on a wedding supper where we're going to sit and eat around a 1,500-mile table. I don't know what they want to eat. but we're going to eat something around a 1,500 mile table, chicken, brisket, and this and that and the other, I guess. I don't know. But I know I'm eating already. I've already been raptured. I've already been resurrected, and we'll get into that. And I am sitting and eating and understanding who I am. Psalm 23, if you really believe it, just go read it. He said he would set a table in the presence of all of these things. He would set a table and we would enjoy it and eat off of it every day of our life. This is that day. So we see the church ages ending at the end of Pisces, when the sun broke into Aquarius. We see the unveiling of the beast and its image. I said it sometime back. I'll show you where the prophet of the age met the pope of the age, and the Antichrist was unveiled, and then it moved into a whole different scene. It moved into the Antichrist is not the Catholic Church. The Antichrist is not the political system. The Antichrist is not any of these things. The Antichrist, as it always has been, but a false interpretation began to be taught on it. The Antichrist is your mind, and the more that you can turn your mind and transform it and bring it into the mind of Christ, the Antichrist will disappear. It will fade away. It'll go away when you take the time to kill, to do away with the Antichrist or the old things that you thought were Christ at one time. And that's hard. The unveiling of marriage and divorce. We'll go into Matthew 22 and show that this is the age. And marriage and divorce that he ministered was not anything to do with a natural marriage and divorce between a natural male and a natural female. We'll go into that. It hadn't anything to do with that. It was so far beyond, it was so far higher in frequency that it went right over the top of every one of their heads at that time. And they sat around worrying whether they was gonna be punished or go to hell because they was in a double marriage or whatever it might be, when it had nothing to do with that. Marriage and divorce was part one of that. Invisible union of the bride was part two of that, Matthew 22. And Brother Branham talked about it. And then part three was the future home. See, he divorces us from the old way. He marries us to the new way. He say, Brother Parnell, are you saying that marriage is over? Well, let me ask this question. Are you married to Jesus Christ? I think all of us are. Are you going to marry somebody else? Yeah, marriage is over. And we need to understand that. I'm married to Jesus Christ. Can't nobody else come and break my veil. Can't nobody else come and convince me that there's something greater. I am married to the word for the hour, for the day, and for the age, and that is Christ in us. And I'm not looking for another man. I'm not looking for another great thing. I'm not looking for any of those things. I am excited over who I am. I am Christ. And I am neither male nor female. Marriage and divorce is over. It's done. And we need to see that and understand it. We'll get into it. Then where will we live at? The future home. And is how are we going to live in it? Things that are to be. Dimensional living. So there's so much here that I just want to get into and take the time to break it out. We went into a lot of it over the last 3 or 4 years, and there's just so much more that's happened in politics, in religion, in the economy, in the whole system of man and the beast and in the image. There's so many things that are going on. Someone asked me, said, okay, Brother Parnell, if it's just one spirit, why are you speaking out against things? That's what's expected of you. One spirit is moving through. And when you speak out against these horrible things that are happening, you say, what are you talking about? Everything from murder to pedophilia to human trafficking to politics and lies and religion and denomination. The worst plague in the world is denomination. And so When you speak out against those things, you are purging the system. And I'm not speaking one word against the people because I know the people are going to go right on. They're going to live right on. The masks are going to come off. But it's your place to purge humanity, to help move these things out. So when we come to this understanding, we come to this new age, this new understanding, it is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. Many people, I could just read one after another, just sit here and read the hundreds and thousands of people that have written and said, this is the greatest thing in my life. This has changed my life. You didn't preach to me, Don Parnell. You showed me how to open up myself. And that means everything. Well, let me tell you, everything I preached tonight is you. Everything I talked about tonight is you. You are the Zodiac. You are the Antichrist. You are the Christ. You are the God. You are the devil. You are the tree of life. You are the tree of knowledge. You are all of these things. What will you do with it? What will you do with this Christ that you are? You're going to take the time to purge these things out of your life that you know you don't need. And you're going to transform and you're going to move yourself. And by doing so, everyone around you is going to feel the vibration and they will break loose just the same. Don't worry about what day it is, what year it is, who it is, or anything else. You just do it for yourself and watch the effect that it does all across the earth. I have sat right here in Dayton, Ohio, or in its vicinity, for since 2017, I've not been able to travel because of all the things that happened to me physically. But this revelation in the last 7 years has grown more than it has ever grown because I, in the middle of all of these things were happening, never gave up and kept talking, kept putting it out, kept telling what I seen, kept bringing it. And now there are thousands upon thousands in every continent, significant continent, Europe, Asia, America, South America, North America. You could just keep naming them all off. They are everywhere and they are writing me continually, Greenland, Iceland, and they're asking all these questions and wanting to understand more because they say this thing that we have is the very most sense of all the gospel that's being preached. I agree with that. The Holy Spirit has brought me to these things, and I will be putting out many commentaries. I'll be putting out many things that you can use, but I will ask you this. Before you use it, you see it. You understand it. Let it open up in your heart and let you feel in your experience what it means to you. Don't talk about Don Parnell's experience. Talk about your experience and what it has done for you. And it will bring life to other people. Just like Philip to the eunuch, he talked about his experience and it brought life. You speak from where you're living and you will bring life to people. Love bless you. I love you with all my heart. As far as I know, I'm going to begin to have most of my meetings on Tuesday evening. It helps Brother Allen to be able to be here, which he's with us tonight. And then all of you will know that normally I will put it out a few days ahead of time, but Tuesday evenings is the time that I'm going to do my best to come on and begin to break down these things for the people. They've been trapped in denomination, rules and regulations, and every kind of thing that you can think of, pastoralships and dictatorships and everything else. And I just want to take the time to help free them and help them find themselves. I want to take them to the door, remove the chains, and let them walk through, and then they'll live. They'll live once that comes to them. Lord, Spirit, you that's living in us, in all of us, you've permeated us with the total Maseroth, with the total Yeshurun, all of the multiples you've multiplied and brought it to pass in the earth. And you've given us an understanding of that. And now we thank you. We ask you to continue in every person, opening more and more to them. Heal their bodies. You, Holy Spirit, that's living in every person that is me and is them. You take their bodies. You teach them how to work with their bodies. Teach them how to use their bodies in the proper manner so that they can be healthy, so that they can do more, so that they don't have to live through the pain and the agony. I'm just now learning that, and I'm thanking you for it. Help them in every way. Heal their bodies. Heal their minds more so than anything. Touch their minds out there and let them see that they need to walk away. They need to shut the door behind them and walk away from these false revelations, from these false traditions, from all of these things, and step into a brand new day and start at ground zero and realize that the Spirit in them is great enough to lead them through to everything they need to see. We ask that. We love you with all of our hearts. Continue to use the earth, your body. Continue to use us to break open these things. In your precious nature, we ask these things. Amen. Love bless you, and I have certainly enjoyed. Good evening.